Aleph, Pirush, Aleph.
Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pirush Aleph. Okay, Neifas Titaifna?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Neifas Titaifas is, I'm going to have to go a little bit early. I need to run back. I took it, there was a lull in the Faharis, so I came by. So I'll leave like a quarter to, I have to go to,
okay,
to at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Neifas Titaifas is a Sayach Kala. Your lips drip with Neifas. Dvash v'chol atach z'sheinech. So we have three areas: this fasayim, the loshen, and the salma. We have the neifes, the dvash v'cholov, and the reach. And now the goyim will try to explain what each metaphor is. Neifes, Pirush, kibet Torah klulin parades. Torah itself has different layers of meaning. Bezer sham and neifes titoves or sayach, who soides ha Torah, shehei misuki midvash. So the first one is, so this one is going from inward out. Neifes titoves or sayach kala is the pnimius. A suffer is something which tries to keep something in. You know, the word like a sfas hayam holds back the yam. Suffers anytime you make a barrier to cut something off. So these are from behind the sifsasayim. And they are musik midvash. We'll try to speak some point why musik midvash, like why is that the attribute of it? That's very sweet. Dvash v'cholov em remez u'drush. Ki remez hu masik ki dvash. U'drush hu shamei ma'oid. Shumarchu v'mechabes halacha. L'chei nikra cholov. V'reach v'sech hu pshat etere shal v'shal etere. So let's talk about each one of these areas and explain why this one is its attribute. So what?
No. Okay.
So it's like this. Whatever sweetness is a generally pleasant taste. We use the word sweet to describe something that tastes good, and things that have a positive taste, we call them sweet. When you concentrate all that taste, it becomes very powerful to a degree that a lot of times it's impossible to cope with that. So, Lamashal, one of the arba that went into the paradise, and it says that, I believe it was in Zoma, they went crazy. It says, Dvash ochal vehiki. He ate honey and threw up. In other words, because honey is so powerful, it's very hard to cope with it. So on the one hand, it is the concentration and the essence of all that tastes good. On the other hand, it's not always palatable. And therefore, it is super sweet. It is sweeter than dvash. And therefore, it is it's something that represents Seder Torah. Seder Torah is a very, very concentrated or essential way of understanding Torah. It's like I got the essence of it, and that the mile of it is how powerfully sweet it is. The chisaron of it is how powerfully sweet it is. It's something that a person can rebel against it. Shamein is the other process. Shamein is something that fleshes out something else. It takes something concentrate and makes it and expands it. When a person expands, he's shumming. But an oil absorbs flavors. So when you have oil or mushroom and you put in some small flavoring, the entire oil takes on that flavoring. So oil is the opposite direction. It expands something and spreads it out. So therefore, the oil is like the drush, which draws out and expands the shayrish nisayit. The rea sal masayach hupshatea teirah shalvushal teirah. And then all of Torah comes dressed in a lavush. And all that the lavush has is a reach of it. So the relationship of reach to tam is the relationship of pshat to what's inside the pshat. So it has an echo of it, but not more than that. I would like to add something to it that... when people eat, the smell is not where you stuff the food down, and you know you don't smell, you don't eat with the nose. But if you have no chush hareach, then it's very hard to eat. The taste leans on chush hareach as well. So something that does not have the element of pshat in it. So when you hear a pnimius, and that's why the pnimius and the soid is always within some sort of pshat. The nicest virtue here are those where it's very deep, but the depth doesn't seem to be running away from the pshat, but seems to be bringing an oimek into the pshat.
Mm-hmm.
So, by the way, there's a beautiful virtue of Biskor Rav here, I'll mention it. It says, so Rashi brings that, we'll see it when we get to the next year of the Rav, and I'll say what the Rav's right.
Rabbi, in Pirsh Aleph, in the first line, so when the Gros says, Kibitarikul and Pardes, I mean, so we say that everything is Nechal in the Torah. Is there something specific that we're referring to when we say Pardes? The Pardes is included, the Torah is Kailo Pardes.
Here's Kibbet Torah Klulin Pardes means that Torah consists of all of these layers together. Torah includes in itself all these layers as one. In other words, this is what Torah is about. Four layers or three main layers, the way he puts it, of Torah, of Gili.
So we're not talking about the same paradise as the four people.
It's the same paradise that we're talking about. Nichas of paradise in the Lashon Gemara Chagiga, the Iker is the Soit Shabbai. In other words, nichas of paradise means they came into the Chedek and Soit. And that paradise is referring to a makom of Tanugim. When you talk about a paradise, in the old days, the paradise geographically or topographically was equivalent to Dvash in the world of Tam. In other words, each one is, so when a person is working, he goes to his field. When a person wants to stroll and enjoy the night air, he goes to the paradise. So paradise in that sense means this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Pirish base. Neufis titoif, no. Ki yesh betoira paradise. O kumayshat adam levush viguf. B'nefesh shebetoich haguf, heim b'toyres ish levush, v'heim klal ha-toyra. V'yesh oid halachas, v'heim in gufei toyra. V'yesh oid drash, z'ar godes, sheikom b'nefesh ha-toyra. V'zeo pshat remes drush, v'soid u'b'chol echad mehem. Ratzoleima miperet. So he says like this. One pshat is there is levush and halachas. V'yesh oidrash z'ar godes. V'yesh oidrash z'ar godes. So he goes like this. There's the levush, which is the klolis, the way we have it. There's the halachas, which is the guf. There is drash, which is a goddess. That's like the nefesh Torah. V'zeh pshat v'remes drush. So this is very fascinating. Now, take a look in Tour 9 in the bottom. He quotes Reb Nachum Mendel Mishklov in Mishlei. He says, Ki kashe yovin asoid alburyov yeloi hakoil etzlo alburyov hapshat aremes drush asoid. I will close my shi oven aside. I feel a pshat in a burr, yodid, or she calls a berserk at Mishpotim, Cheshemati, me admor, Arenikos Mishkovoi, the Kamar Pomim, the Havei. So he says here, fascinating over here, that the soid is something which lies within every aspect of Torah, and not having soid means you don't understand all the things. Even in the Pshat Shavuot, even the Rem Shavuot, Drush Shavuot. But let's talk about this a minute, because this is something that is, this is counterintuitive in the first minute. But you think about it like this. Imagine we're involved in a situation. Reuven comes and he talks to Shimon and gets upset, and then Reuven goes away and Levi comes on and so forth. So I evaluate each situation and try to understand what happened, why is it happening, what's being hinted at, so on and so forth. When I know and understand the pnimius of the Inyan, let's say I realize what's happening here, so everything makes sense. In other words, the only way I can really know why this is like this, this is like this, this is like this, this, is once I have an understanding of what the site is. So everything has to fit into a certain context. So it's not the pshat. Let's explain what it's not the pshat, where the grain is coming from. There's an approach which would go something like this. These words don't make sense in grammar, and pshat, they're missing a lot of stuff. The answer is because it's not important. What's important is the soid over here. Now, if you say this means this, and that's what's important. That's wrong. Certainly, the Goyim holds it's wrong. Soid is that, is a penemius of everything. The reason why we're using such awkward grammar is because the way we understand what we're talking about, this grammar actually has the best way to express it. These words, these terms, it's something where once I correctly understand the pnimius, I now have a way to understand why the concern is a certain way. So what he means to say is the all the different types of soid gives meaning to each and every different aspect of the of these chalakim of Torah. It's said over from him that take a look also in that same piece, Dunlan, he quotes, he's a very famous guy, and it's important to know them. In Vayim Ibir Abin al Mishle Hey Yud Ches, Afa Bishay Mekorcho Baruch, Betia Kemayan and Avea, Betovin Asoid al Machoinoi, Oz Vesomach Vishas Rech Klem Meshich Hashtra al Piposhet. So he said, as you begin to understand the soid, the pshat will be a lot more meaningful to you. And this is something that you don't get easily. Some people are very focused on pshat, that's wonderful. Some people are focused on pnimius, and the pshat seems to be just an excuse. That the Torah is a sloppy job, Chas v'Shalom, but it's needed for the site. And I wrote about Reb Nachum that when Rosh Hashiva says a shir, the high point of the shir depends on what Rosh Hashiva likes most. So one Rosh Hashiva will come out with an amazing cheshbon and say, "Did you see how it works? This is because this, and this because this, because this, and this, and everything comes around. This is pshat." A second person will come out with a very deep svara, and they'll say, so this is the Eimek of Inyan. Reb Nachum used to love to come back to the Rishon and read it and say, don't you see that the words mean exactly what they mean. In other words, after understanding what Rabbi Chanish was mechadish, whatever point he was making, now coming back and reading the pshat, it now makes sense. So
So, but Rabbi, is this? I mean, maybe I'm misunderstanding a little bit, but if you look in any business or any society or governmental structure, isn't this how everything really runs? There's, you know, there's a central aspect which maybe the common folk don't really appreciate or understand.
Right.
But if you walk on the streets, you can say, you know, this person's doing construction. You know, why he's allowed to do it here and not there, the common man may not understand. But there's various levels. And at the, you know, there's a hierarchy, and at the top of the hierarchy, there's a design and there's a reason. And, you know, they made laws and plans, you know, this is where we'll build, you know, tall buildings. This is where we'll have short buildings, businesses, and society, you know, how everything runs. Isn't this a classic example of a hierarchy where there's different levels of understanding as you go up the hierarchy? So we may not understand Said, but, you know, all of Said, but the pair that we do understand, we recognize that it works in a similar framework, that there's a hierarchy where the Said ultimately is the deepest understanding, and that it manifests on multiple levels. I mean, is there something more here that I'm missing?
Because let's go back to that example. When you talk about construction, so yes, there's what I see as a layman walking by, there's what someone else who's in the business understands. At the end of the day, unless there's something else going on, it's all of the same nature. There's the planning for the town, there's the infrastructure, there's the traffic, there's the this, there's the that, what have you. But tachlis, here from that, a whole different set of understandings. The Said that we're talking about in Torah is of a very, very different nature. And it's all, let's give an example for Said. I think that's more apropos. A little kid watches his father play chess. And to him, chess is about little figurines, some very cute. And you know, that's it. It's a way to play with little figurines. He doesn't inherit game or be a machlah. He doesn't inherit the mitzvahs of the game, doesn't inherit the mitzvahs of chess. So he sees, and sometimes what he's doing, my father moves around cute plastic horses all day long. But because he's not teufis, the etzem, what it is. He has no, it's a different, when he becomes older and he realizes what this is and what he's doing, then it makes a lot more sense. So there's the being oimed on the essence of something, and then the and on the plenius of something, and versus the epitaneous. The Seid of Torah means that it's something that's really disconnected with what you would think. So for instance, I know to not eat bus with challah, so you could say this time, that the other time. Seid will give you a very different time. A time that's with this meat and that meat, and the two meat is not compatible, which seems to be not from your world. But once you understand it, so many, everything does fit into place with it. It becomes a context for something. That's what we mean by Seid becoming the context for things and so on. So
from what I'm understanding is that the only real difference is that they manifest in ways that would maybe seem that they are contradictory, or at least they're not consistent. But if you understand the inner workings, they're perfectly consistent.
Correct. Exactly. If it's in inner work, they're perfectly consistent, right?
Mm-hmm. So is there a knach over here that Said and Pshat seem to be inconsistent when in reality they are consistent? And is that why it's more of a chiddush than any given hierarchy that we see everywhere?
I don't think so. His main point is that everything fits in to bringing out this primus, this teichen, whatever you want. In other words, saying Klal Yisrael's Torah, Klal Yisrael, comes across in layers, and I want to appreciate layer after layer after layer. Mm-hmm. And the core of it all is that primus of Seid. The Seid gives everything else its flavor. So just like the sugar, and going back to the first one, is what makes everything sweet and pleasant, this is the nekuda that makes everything else. That's why the goyin, like over here, the goyin is learning pshat menegillah in a pshat way, but he's mooching it off Kabbalah. So it's the pshat has become Kabbalah. Sorry, it's whatever you want to call it. It's the inner workings of something that now means that the thing itself, even the chitzenis, works in that direction. And the goyin a lot of time doesn't. The goyin will learn pshat, and then, like you see in the bottom here. I mean, this is not pshat. That I mean, he's using, he is the head using a lot of minyanim, but down on the bottom he brings the makoros for each thing. The noifes rotzaloima shemosif my noifes mashiv tasaseich zer koi al halachas she'emim b'peh. So this is going, Sifseich is going on halacha dafka, because halacha requirement is to say that. Devash v'cholav tachas ha-shaynech, zeh adur sh'roi l'chassos ul'han'ima tachas ha-loshim. And this I once heard when he said, zeh adur sh'roi l'chassos l'han'ima tachas ha-loshim. I once heard this from Goldvich. It says, in Chazal says somewhere that Dvash Chol Tachas HaShenech Im HaDvorim Mesukim K'moy Dvash Amorim. If the things are as pleasant as honey, go ahead and say them. And if not, Kaf Shem Tachas HaShenech. And, you know, don't say them. So the Rishon asked me one of Shem. If we're talking about Dibur Tainas Emes, what do I care that it's not sweet? If it's talking about something that's not Emes, what do I care if it's sweet? When is this Azhara to say the Torah only if the Mesukim? So this I don't know if the Rav heard from the Rav person. The Rav said, Avada, we're talking about Dvarim Amitiyim. Dvarim that are not emes, there's no mock of it. But even Dvarim Amitiyim, his lashon was, Kvoida Shal Torah obligates us to say only things that are miskabel. To say things that come across silly, stupid, strange, whatever it is, we shouldn't. They have to be, the covenant of Torah is to say things and people should say, wow, that's amazing, that's astounding, that's, you know, whatever it is. So so that's where he learned the Dvash V'cholov. He says, Neifis, Rotzoloima Shemosk Mar Neifis, Mashtof Zosayim, Zer Koi Al Halach HaShayim B'Peh, Dvash V'cholov HaShayinat, Zer HaDrush, Shor L'Chasuz Anit HaSaloshim. Drush should not be set out clearly, but it should be hidden under the tongue. In other words, I don't think he means over here the, drush, I mean, Kabbalah does not mean it, but he means a person needs to understand the drush and the remez as being behind the pshat. It's not pshat, this is the inner workings of the pshat. And that's why it's Ruah and Imot HaSaloshin, just like when you hum under something, the main song is something else, but this is giving it its music. So too, Remez and Drush have that flavor. Reach Samasayach Heinen Alavush Kereach Levarim. So you have the Guf HaDvarim, and then you have the attributes of it, which give it its time, and so on and so forth. Okay, I have to go. Good. So, Beis Hashem, next week, I think Monday would be back to, it would be normal. Monday would be good, Metz Hashem.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much, Rabbi.
Okay, sorry for the change of the schedule. Just yesterday wasn't Shaykh. Today was a lot more.
Okay, good. No, it worked out. Baruch Hashem.
Take care, man. All the best.
Have a nice week.